BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Friends, we try to get down to the truth on issues here on the program, and it caught my attention as I was looking on the internet and found these topics. Here is one called 10 Reasons Why Islam is the True Religion. Here's another one, 7 Proofs to Know Islam is the Truth. And yet, here's another one that says, Evidence Islam is Truth. 159 articles. Oh, the 15 articles about the scientific miracles of the Holy Quran, the scientific miracles of the Prophet Muhammad. There's articles on Muhammad and the Bible and other scriptures, evidence of Muhammad's prophethood, 45 articles on the logical proofs of Islam, and so on and so forth. So we have all of this out there that says Islam, the religion of truth. Well, according to our guest today, Islam is anything but that, and Islam has distorted the truth. The distortion of Islam, our topic today with guest Usama Dakdak, the founder and director of the Straightway of Grace Ministry. He is a speaker on the daily radio broadcast, Revealing the Truth About Islam, speaks fluent Arabic, has translated the Quran into English. He's the author of several books like Exposing the Truth About the Quran and Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Usama, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my joy to be with you and all our wonderful audience.
Usama, we're going to be, I know you hear these articles and you read them, and you would probably like to delve into every one of them to really counter them, but but yet there is that persona out there that that Islam is a religion of truth, but there's a lot of deception going on.
Well, when you talked about the miracles, that one of the things you mentioned, as a matter of fact, Allah is very clear in the Quran. He did not send to Muhammad any miracles, but somehow the Muslims of the West, especially in the last 20-some years or so, they are creating miracles from Muhammad from everywhere you can imagine. Some of the miracles, if the people really know the truth behind it, they not only leave Islam, they will laugh at Islam. It's a comedy. How can Muslims today make miracles from Muhammad when Muhammad did not perform any miracle as Allah approved it in many places throughout the pages of the Quran that he is not going to give Muhammad any miracles? People begged Muhammad, can you show us a sign? Prove to us that you're a prophet. And Allah's answer was, we will not send miracles. You have to believe it without seeing any miracles, which is nonsense at all, of course.
Well, Usama, we're going to be looking at a number of issues, but we're going to take an illustration from July of 2022, something that has just happened, a festival called a Festival of Sacrifice. It's called the Festival of Hadaa. You've got a different pronunciation, I know.
Eid al-Adha.
Okay. Yeah. So what is exactly this festival? And we're going to understand whether this is a distortion of Scripture or if it's or if we find out that Islam itself has been distorted.
Oh, there's any truth in the story. Of course, that is the time every year which Muslims celebrate the event where Abraham was about to sacrifice one of his sons, and then... that's how Allah redeemed his son with a sacrifice. Therefore, Muslims will continue to celebrate that event by sacrificing on that specific day once a year different animals. That's what they do exactly.
Okay. Why do they do this? I mean, is there some kind of spiritual message? Is there some connection to Islam?
Well, that's
or to God?
That's a good question, but there's no answer for it. If you ask every Muslim, literally, if they are a Muslim imam or just genuine Muslim believers, and they say, why did you sacrifice these animals, whatever they sacrifice? They will think that, well, it's because they have no answer. Mm-hmm. But it is a good thing to do, because when you sacrifice a sheep or a camel, well, you got lots of meat and you can feed people, poor people. So why not look at it in a positive way that it's about time for take care of the poor who's in need to have a meal.
So when it looks at this festival, let's talk about its origin. Where did this come from?
It's Quran chapter 37, and we got a good 10 verses, actually 12 verses there, where Allah talk about the story of Abraham offering his sacrifice in the Quran. Notice we're talking about Muhammad picked up a story from the Bible and he literally wrote it in a poetry form without message. And you will miss everything about what was written in the Genesis account, which is obviously Genesis chapter 22. And that is not just a story of Abraham sacrificing his son. It is actually all the that which is written throughout the pages of the Quran. So you always hear Muslims say, we believe in Allah, the same God, the God of the Bible. We believe in Adam, we believe in Noah, we believe in Abraham, we believe in David and Solomon, all the biblical stories. But if you investigate each and every one of these names with the account of the Bible, when you compare it to the story of Muhammad, you find there's distortions there. Something went wrong. It's like you heard the story 10, 15 years ago, and you're writing it in a poetry form and from the best as you can remember from hearing the story, and you make up a completely different story. That is a fact. But here there is actually more of a spiritual lesson for our dear Muslim friend to learn about why did Abraham was tested by God. You don't read it in the Quran as a test. And everything written about these 12 verses is actually falsehood, distortion. And I'm going to read to you this passage. So in verse 100 in Quran chapter 37, it says, "My Lord, grant me from the good." Who's saying here? Who's praying? It's Abraham. Praying to who? Praying to Allah. "So we gave him the good news of a forbearing young man." So he was Abraham praying to Allah, "I need a son. I need a good son." So Allah gave him a forbearing young man. Amazingly, if you go to Genesis chapter 16, Brother Jim, Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12, we read the description of how God described Ishmael to be, and that would destroy the entire story. That here Allah in Quran chapter 37 is speaking about Abraham and his son Ishmael. What is the description in Genesis 16:12 to the son Ishmael?
Yeah, it says there, "And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren."
I love this last piece. "He will dwell in the presence of his brethren," because I'm going to show you from Genesis account chapter 25 whom he's talking about here. Now, Ishmael in the Bible is a wild man. And sadly, I hear many preachers in America preaching the pulpit. Here it is, the Arabs, the Muslims, wild, because the Bible talk about Ishmael as a wild man. The Bible does not talk about Ishmael's descendants. It talk about Ishmael himself was a wild man. And it's not because the Bible talk about some person, A or B, to be a wild man that everybody else, a wild, belong to that person. So that is a mistake where many preachers in America, they tie Ishmael to Muslims because of that verse. But that's not the story. The Quran said a forbearing young man, a kind kid, a nice person. Mm-hmm. That's not Ishmael. So let's continue. Verse 102. "So when he came to the age of walking with him," he meant the father, Abraham, the son walking with Abraham, "he said, my son, surely I see in my sleep that I am slaughtering you. So see what you see." Notice here Abraham is speaking about dream. He said to his son, "I saw in my dream." Sleep, what happened in the sleep is always dream. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22 and see the test, the true biblical account before Muhammad distorted in the Quran. Was it Abraham dreaming that God told him? Because we know in the Bible, God spoke to many people in dreams. But what was the true account in the biblical here in Genesis 22? Was it what? Go ahead, read the first couple of verses.
Sure. Starting at verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," that's to test Abraham, "and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took..."
And we know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But was it a dream or just God speaking to Abraham,
him?
Like God spoke to Moses, like God's, like you and I are talking to each other right now. It's not a dream. But let's continue in Quran chapter 37 and continue with verse 102. "He said," that is the son. Notice so far we have no clue who is he. It's Abraham speak to his son, and his son said, he said, no names whatsoever. "He said, oh, my father, do what you are commanded. You will find me among the patient if Allah wills." That is a very strange answer here. Why? Because not only that goes against the biblical teaching, as we're going to see in Genesis 22, but it goes against logic. "My son," "yes, dad, I saw in my dream I'm slaughtering you. Oh, dad, go ahead, please make my day. Cut my head off." Are you serious? Any person with logic, common sense, "dad, it was just a ridiculous dream. You're not going to behead me because you saw in a dream." God is not involved in that. What we've seen here, he was dreaming and he's trying to put the dream into action. Obviously, the answer is very neat here in the Quran, but it's not the right answer. That is a distorted story of Muhammad in the Quran. Verse 103. So when he surrendered, and he laid him down on his jibin, on his side, non-Arabic word. Anyway, so we continue. And we called him, O Abraham, indeed you have believed the vision. Excuse me? I thought it was a dream. How in the world the dream turned to vision? There's a huge difference between dream, sleep, and vision. Vision is you be sitting there talking with me and you go out and you've seen something and you came back. You are awake in vision, not like in the sleep. You're dreaming. So here we go. Not only Muhammad contradicts the biblical account, he's actually contradicting himself within the same verses. We're only five verses below it here. And then he said, likewise, we surely reward the doers of good. Okay. Surely, verse 106, this is a clear trial. And we redeemed him with a great sacrifice. Redemption in Islam? Redemption in the Quran? Wow. I thought Muslims said, no such a thing as somebody save somebody else, or the sacrifice will not redeem or save anybody else. Well, the Quran teaches redemption. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِزَبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ The great sacrifice, it's amazing. That's actually one of the names of Allah in the Quran. The great, Al-Azim. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِزَبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ Azim here is a description to God himself is going to save that son, whatever he is. Now, continue verse 110. Likewise, we reward the doers of good. Surely he is our believing servant. And we gave him the good news of Isaac. Wow. First time we read a name in the story. What is the good news? Isaac, what is going to be a prophet among the goods? And we blessed on him and on Isaac. And from their offspring, an obvious deer of good, doer of good, and unjust to himself. That's the end of the story. We have no idea who the son is, except in the end of the story, as we just read in verse 112, it's actually mentioned Isaac. Now, when I went to the great Muslim scholars' interpretation to find out who is the sacrificed son, and behold, I'm talking to Al-Tabri. Al-Tabri is not just anybody. Al-Tabri is the top Muslim scholar. First of all, he's the closest to Muhammad days. So obviously he have a better sources. It's not like a few hundred years later, I mean, or a thousand years. No. This is what Muslim scholar Al-Tabri said. We redeemed him with a great sacrifice. Allah exalted here, spoken about, we redeemed Isaac with a great sacrifice. وَفَدَيْنَا إِسْحَاق Isaac بِزَبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ This is what Al-Tabri said. Even though he said that, but he went a little bit later and said, well, Muslim scholars disagree. اختلف أهل التاويل. Who is the one to be sacrificed from the sons of Abraham? Some of them said Isaac and give you a bunch of names, and some of them said Ishmael and give you a bunch of names. But I want to give to the true account from the Bible to figure out, no, it was not Ishmael. It is Isaac, because the Bible, which is written very clearly, explicitly told us it was Isaac, not Ishmael.
Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break here with Usama Dakdak today. We're talking about the distortion of Islam and certainly how they have distorted what the Word of God says, even here in Genesis chapter 22. We'll have some more on that, but we'll also give you opportunity to call in later on the program as well to ask your questions on Islam. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you use ordinary things as a witness for creation?
You certainly can, Chris. In fact, you can use an automobile or an airplane or a radio station or most design systems to witness to the design in creation. If a radio station needs a designer, then certainly things much more complicated, like life, need a designer. If you know anything about geology, you can use the road cuts through mountains to witness the Noah's flood. You can see the strata, obviously laid down by moving water, and point out that these strata typically go for miles in every direction, maybe thousands of miles, speaking eloquently of widespread deposition due to water action. Yes, indeed, Chris. Creation and the flood are clearly seen from evidence all around us, and we can use them to witness to that back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest in studio today, Usama Dakdak, who is founder of the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, and the website being thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Usama is in studio today, and he's doing different speaking engagements in the area. He's going to be in Kenosha speaking tomorrow, and we understand also in Anago, Wisconsin. Those of you who listen over WVRN on the 26th of July, 6 p.m., he's going to be speaking on Islamophobia, Fact or Fiction. And that is in the Heinzen Peaceful Valley Pavilion on Field Street in Anago, Wisconsin. That's coming up on July the 26th. And other areas as well, you can certainly be in contact with his ministry through thestraightway.org. We're talking about the distortion of Islam today. There was just a major festival, a festival of sacrifice that deals with going back to the time of Abraham. And Usama, the question is, now the Bible clearly tells us in Genesis chapter 22, we're talking about his son, Isaac. But Islam, there's this question, was it Isaac or was it Ishmael?
Well, when we read the story in Genesis and Quran chapter 37 from verse 100 to 111, we know for sure it is Isaac. That's the only name is mentioned there. But why do Muslims want to make it Ishmael? Because he believed the lie and the distortion of telling the truth by Muhammad himself, who actually claimed that he is a descendant of Ishmael. And since the sacrifice is Ishmael in the story, that will tie Muhammad, and there's tie between Muhammad and Ishmael, that will tie Muhammad to be that final prophet to come to this world. But here's the truth. Sadly, Muslims do not know where he come from. Not only Muslim cannot tie Muhammad to his father, Abdullah, they cannot tie any of the Arabs to Ishmael. You see, according to the tradition of Islam and the writings of Muslim theologians, we know that Amna, Muhammad's mama, was pregnant by him with him, Muhammad inside her, for 4 years. Why is that? Because Abdullah died 3+ years before Muhammad was born. And by the way, Muslims believe a woman can be pregnant. Even in the reliance of the traveler, a woman can be pregnant in Islam up to 4 years, most scholarly, and some went up to say even 10 years, which is a comedy. Of course, we know that's not true. But when we go to Genesis account, Brother Jim, in Genesis chapter 25, we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm just read the important point of the story. We know that in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1, Abraham married another woman by the name Keturah. Mm-hmm. And that happened after Sarah died. From Keturah, he had a bunch of children and grandchildren, obviously verses 2 to 6. But I want you to read for me verse 6 to see where the children of Keturah dwelt or lived after Abraham passed away.
So this is Genesis chapter 25, verse 6. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country.
Oh, east countries. The land of the east, the Bible talk about. That's, by the way, the same land where Job used to live. And we have a bunch of ties between these names of the children of Keturah and Arabs. We're not going to get in today because we don't have time to cover this. We can maybe do it some other time. But then we read about Ishmael. And obviously, Ishmael writing start in the following verses. And we're not going to read all these names of Ishmael, the 12 sons of Ishmael, which the Bible calls the Ishmaelites. Not the Arabites, but the Ishmaelite. Where did the Ishmaelite live? Let's read verse 18. Genesis 25 and verse 18.
Where it says, and they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria, and he died in the presence of all his brethren.
So Ishmael lived between Havilah and Ashur, that is north. The Ishmaelite lived north, where he lived, where he dwelt, among his brothers. Similar words, what we read a little bit earlier about Ishmael, the wild guy, the wild donkey, the tough guy. Okay, so the Ishmaelite lived up north, and they are the descendant of Abraham and the Egyptian mama Hagar. You know that in the Quran, you will never know Hagar from Sarah? You will have no clue. If you study the Quran very carefully, you will have no clue that Abraham had two wives, or wife and a concubine. You actually may assume that Ishmael and Isaac are the two sons of the same mama, because there's no names, there's no details, there's no information. But the Ishmaelite have nothing to do with Arab, and Arab have nothing to do with Ishmaelites. They're two separate people. Those who live up north and those who live in the country of the east, which is the Middle east, where is that? Saudi Arabia Peninsula. Now, so that is the biblical account to prove that Ishmael have nothing to do with the Arabs. And now we know for sure from Muslim scholars Muhammad was the son of Abdullah, who was born literally 3+ years after Abdullah died, which means he is not even the son of Abdullah. If Muslim cannot tell us who is Muhammad's father, how in the world they can tie him to Ishmael?
You know, what's so interesting is that even in today, this year of 2022, they continue to call Islam an Abrahamic faith. And a matter of fact, coming up just shortly, I mean, the Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi is going to be opening yet this year of 2022, in which they have, you know, a Jewish temple. They're going to have a mosque. They're going to have this combined family house here in Abu Dhabi, calling it the Abrahamic faith.
And it's amazing when you ask the Muslim believers in the West, not in the Middle East, and what is the Abrahamic faith? So it's a Jewish and Christian and Muslim, the three branches from Abraham. And when you open the Quran, surprise, surprise, Allah in the Quran tells us Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was not a Christian. Abraham was a Muslim. And the same verse, you ask why.
That's what it tells you
in the
Quran?
That's in the Quran. Mm-hmm. And you ask why Abraham is not a Jew. And Allah tells us because Moses came after Abraham. It makes sense.
Yeah.
So you cannot be a Jew when Jewish faith did not came exist when you were there. And why is not a Christian? Because the gospel came after Abraham. Makes sense. But how in the world Abraham cannot be a Jew or a Christian because Judaism and Christianity came after he was dead, but at the same time Abraham is a Muslim. Even though Muhammad came 600 years after Christ, literally 2,500 years after Abraham.
Hmm.
After Moses. So it doesn't make any sense. But when Muslims say the Abrahamic faith, the Jew, Christian, Muslim, you need to clarify this. Excuse me. Allah in the Quran said Abraham was never a Jew nor a Christian. He was a Muslim, Hanifan, made up word without any meaning. But so this is the propaganda of the Muslims in the West. They try to make us all one beige. We have all the same belief. We all go back to Abraham.
What we're saying is this feast that was just celebrated in the month of July, this festival of sacrifice, mm-hmm. Which they are trying to hijack the story from Genesis chapter 22, mm-hmm. that they are distorting what Scripture has said.
Now let's ask a question. Did any of the children of Abraham, the Ishmaelite or the Isaacite, the children of Isaac or the children of Ishmael, did any of them offer, made these festivals once a year? They sacrifice some animals to remember what happened to their daddy, if it was Ishmael or Isaac. For sure, no, it's Isaac. We're done with that. No. So why when Muhammad came, literally 600 years after Christ, and that is make it 2,100 years after Moses. And whatever number of years, 600 years after Christ. Why Muhammad brought this in? What was the purpose of the sacrifice? Obviously, he's creating something to tie himself to a biblical account, sacrifice, even though sacrificial life does not exist in Islam or in the Quran. It is one mistake, and it's one mistake that Ishmael or that Muhammad mentioned here in the story, is that Allah saved the son of Abraham or redeemed him with a sacrifice. Because redemption does not exist in Islam. And maybe they can look at it, as we mentioned earlier, as good works to feed the poor or the needy, but they miss the whole boat. Why? Because in the Bible, we know this was a test to Abraham. And from that test, we learn about a very good, important lesson. If we go to Genesis chapter 22, and Isaac asked Abraham this great question, Dad, here is the fire, here is the knife, here is the wood. Mm-hmm. Where is the lamb to be sacrificed? What did Abraham said? God will provide himself a lamb. Hmm. A little bit later in the story, we found that Abraham literally offered not a lamb, but a ram. Well, a lamb and a ram, they're a male sheep, but a lamb is a small sheep and a ram is an old sheep. Why he did not cut a lamb and offer a lamb? Because the lamb is yet to come. The story or the biblical teaching of that test, it is God will provide salvation for mankind. And when we go to the New Testament and we see Jesus was about to be start his ministry and he went before John the Baptist, what did John the Baptist said? Behold the Lamb of God who will carry away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb which God the Father provide to bring salvation to all mankind. Mm-hmm. And Muslims missed the story. You can make up any story you want, but if you make the whole foundation of the story, God brings salvation to mankind. God delivered Isaac from being sacrificed was a ram, but he would deliver all of us, Jew and Gentiles alike, with his son, the Lamb of God. And that is the true redemption. There is no redemption in Islam, and redemption can only be found in the pages of the Bible. That is when we read that God provided our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ to die for the sin of the whole world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, who carry our sins away. And that is what's missing, obviously, from the whole story in the Quran anyway.
And indeed, this is just one story, just one. And you could talk for hours on end as to all the distortions that are taking
Brother
place.
Brother Jim, I got 780 pages in my two-volume books exposing the truth about the errors of the Quran, the revelation of error. That's what it's about. If you go to these 41 chapters in these two-volume books, literally, it's one story after another where Muhammad misunderstood the story, contradicted himself, missed the point of the biblical account, and so on and on. Islam is an empty book. The Quran is an empty book because there's no truth in it whatsoever.
Sure, and yet in this particular story in the festival, I know around the world, they literally have slayed animals right in the streets.
That's a funny question. What is the best animal you can offer in that day? Not a sheep, because it's not too much meat. Not a cow, no, a camel. When you go to the Leviticus teaching in the Bible, guess what is the first animal which God said is forbidden to be eaten or to be offered a sacrifice?
The first animal mentioned was a camel.
You see, the counterfeit of Muhammad, he is allowing the Muslim people to offer unclean animals. And I love it how Muslims in the West, haram food, halal food, haram food, forbidden and unforbidden food. Mm-hmm. And they make a big deal about not eating what's forbidden. But in reality, they eating everything is forbidden. Everything. In the best sacrifice, the only way they are close to that which in Jewish faith or Christian faith, sacrifice, it is on that day, the festivals of sacrifice day, and they're offering unclean animals to feed the poor or to please Allah. Not realizing camel is the first animal, is mentioned in the Bible, to be forbidden to be eaten. And they offer it and they eat it. And they have no idea that they're missing the whole biblical teaching of the Bible, which is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sin of the world.
And folks, keep in mind, in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
And so when we know the word of God is truth, and when then we pick up the Quran and look at it and compare it to what Scripture teaches, it's a distortion of the truth. It is to take perhaps that which is in Scripture and put a whole different persona over it, put a mask over it. It's a disguise. It's a distortion of what God has said.
That's everything about everything in the Quran. You know, we have grown all our life, Brother Jim, believe in the Middle East that the Quran is perfect book of Allah, clear Arabic, one copy, never distorted. It is preserved throughout the 1400 years. But in reality, we just discovered the last few years, we got 37 Arabic Quran with 29,000 errors in these Arabic books. And not just that. Any one of them, read any of these Arabic Qurans, and you find that it's always distorted truth. It's not there.
And friends, it goes right back to Genesis chapter 3. Yea, hath God said? It's a distortion.
Sure.
We're going to open our phone lines right now, friends, and any question you may have on Islam, any question, because it has been a distortion of the truth. If you have a question on Islam, pick up your phone, give us a call. Usama Dakdak with us here today from the Straightway of Grace Ministry. Our number is 800-733-9829. We just gave you an example of this distortion, but no doubt you have other questions on Islam. 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Vic Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the distortion of Islam today. Usama Dakdak is with us here today, and our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Perhaps you have been told something. I want to check out, is this true or false? How does the Quran line up with the teachings of Scripture? Folks, there's a vast gulf between the two. Usama has known and studied Islam for many, many years growing up in Egypt. He was taught Sharia. It was part of the education system right in Egypt and was taught that in the schools. He knows Islam, does speak fluent Arabic as well. Taking your calls today, if you have any question on Islam whatsoever, our phone number 800-733-9829. Let's continue with our calls here, and we're going to Venice, Florida. And Colleen, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for what you do, for exposing all of these evil plans. I was curious about President Biden's trip to the Middle East and thought there must be some significance in the time that he's going. I went online and, of course, saw this festival. I figured it must have some significance to do with that. And then I saw a tweet from Mr. Biden to the Muslim world saying, wishing them a happy holiday. There were several responses from Muslim people. Several of them thanked him for what he was doing. One of them specifically said, thank you for your sacrifice. And since this is some sort of a festival about sacrifice, is there some significance to that, do you think? I know that Obama and Biden both had such strong ties to Muslims, Islam.
Well, first of all, we have to understand Obama and Biden, both of them, love the Muslims more than America, more than Americans, yes, more than anybody else. So in Obama's days, he helped the Iranians with $152 billion and gives them the green light to work on their nuclear bomb. No kidding. That's exactly what it is. And Biden is doing the same thing. Why the Saudi do not like Biden? Why the Saudi hate America even more? Because we're right now empowering their greatest enemy, Iran, to be able to literally remove the Saudi from the face of the earth. If you remember, years ago, Saddam Hussein was about to take Kuwait and go back to Saudi Arabia, take over the entire Saudi Arabia peninsula, but he could not because of the war started with Mr. George W. Bush. Now, I believe with the help of Obama and Biden, now Iran is going to be in more power, and maybe they will accomplish what Saddam Hussein could not accomplish years ago. And by the way, I don't think it was any successful trip, and you will never see any good come out of it because neither Saudi king nor anybody in his country like America anymore to help us. And it's an embarrassing thing. As for the timing, I don't think it have anything to do with anything. It just happened that's the time where he decided to make the trip. And sadly, everything coming out from this administration is not good for America, nor any person with logical common sense can see anything good can come out of it. So we just have to pray. God help us with what's coming to this country.
Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now. Our number is 800-733-9829, taking your questions on Islam today. As we mentioned, there's all these articles, all these websites that talk about the truth of Islam. Our guest saying, no, there's a distortion that is taking place, a distortion that's being caused by Islam of what God has said in his word. Jim is calling next in Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Greetings, brothers in Christ. Thank you for this program. I just want to bring up the fact, the hypocrisy of the Muslims using the Democrat Party as useful idiots. When Omar is in the House and she's supporting abortion and homosexual agenda, and she visited a concert that thousands of Muslims were putting on up in Minneapolis recently, and she was booed because of her hypocrisy, because Islam is not for abortion or for homosexuality.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. Here is the truth. Muslims will do anything they can to continue to divide this country. And I've seen it by my own eyes also. Many Muslim ladies in hijab after the decision of the Supreme Court about the reverse of the abortion deal there for the Anyway, so you see, Muslims are willing to do anything to make sure that we have enough division in this country, because they know if we can divide America, we can conquer it. And if it's Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or anybody else in this Democratic Party, they will do exactly that. And what's amazing now, and we have talked about that, I believe, me and you, Brother Jim, in November, that Mr. Biden is literally forcing our government in Egypt to free some of the top Muslim Brotherhood who are in prison. As a matter of fact, we know for sure that Sheikh Al-Qaradawi, Yusuf Qaradawi's daughter, is in prison, and most likely she will never leave the prison unless Mr. Biden do everything he can to free this prison. So it seemed to me Obama frees a Muslim extremist, or what you call the Muslim believers, out of Gitmo prison to create ISIS, and now Biden is doing the same thing to appease the Muslims like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and the rest of the Muslim in America. And he is right now forcing my president in Egypt, al-Sisi, to free the jihadi, which is the worst of the worst. And I believe if this will ever continue with their agenda, Egypt will fall again into the hand of the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is just the propaganda agenda of the Democrat anyway.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Cloquet, Minnesota. And John is calling. John, you're on the air.
Hello, both of you. I really love both of you. And I want to ask Usama what he thinks about, or what he knows about, Tyson Seafoods opened a meat processing plant south of Joplin, Missouri, and 90% or so of the employees are Muslim.
Is that John or is that Robert?
John. And so I wondered, what do you think about this Tyson?
Got you back in.
Okay, tell you what, you've got somebody else talking in the background there. So
I got the question. Well, Tyson is have lots of plants, some of them in Tennessee, well, some of them in Washington State. And believe it or not, it's been for years where Tyson fired American workers and replaced them by Muslim workers. And we have to understand, this is one of the reasons why Muslims are taking bigger step, higher step in America, that we are allowing the Muslims to kill animals, if it's chicken or cows, according to Sharia, which is these animals must be killed in the name of Allah by a hand of a Muslim believer, as they say the Shahada over their animals. And that is sad day that we see that now Muslim, even though they're not 2% in America, but they're pushing and forcing Sharia on us in the killing of the animals to be eaten by everybody in America.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Lynn in Des Moines, Iowa. Lynn, you're on the air.
Thank you, and my apologies if you have already covered this. I didn't get in for the beginning of the program, but I was wondering how closely the Islamic account of creation of the universe, creation of the world and man and so forth might agree or disagree with the biblical account.
Well, it's a good question. We did not talk about it. As a matter of fact, this is chapter 1 and 2 in my book, Exposing the Truths About the Quran, The Revelation of Error. And believe it or not, none of that which is written in the Quran is even closer to that what we believe in the Bible. For example, creation in the Quran is 6 days or 8 days or 9 days. Which number do you like?
In the same Quran,
six and eight, and Muhammad said in the Hadith 7 days, and forgot the creation of the heavens, which took place in the Quran in 2 days. So 7 plus 2 is 9. Do we believe Adam was 60 cubits tall? That's 90 feet. And when Allah created him, according to Muhammad's own words, he was actually laying down on the floor of the garden up in heaven for 40 days before Allah breathed into him the breath of life. Nothing about creation is accurate. Nothing about Adam is accurate. Nothing about anything taken out of the Bible is accurate.
Well, wow. Quite a distortion.
Oh, my. Unbelievable. I really am very surprised. I thought if anything might be close, that might be what would be close. But
creation, that's not
amazing.
Yeah.
That's
not. Thank you for the call here, Lynn.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Keith is next in Apache Junction, Arizona. You're on the air, Keith.
Hi, Jim, and hi, Usama. Thank you for taking my call. First off, I have Usama's version of the Quran, and I'm trying to wade through it. It's a very dismal book, not Usama's part, but the Quran itself is a very dismal book, especially compared to the Bible. And one thing I wanted to ask him, I understand when they go to Mecca and march around in the Great Colosseum, that they are circling a stone that came from the moon, and that Allah kind of descends from a moon, a pagan moon god. Is any of that true, please?
Well, you know, the Hajj, by the way, Muhammad Qabi from the idol worshippers, which used to be before his days, where they used to be in the same black building, the Kaaba, 360 gods, and Muhammad destroyed all these gods except his black stone. And Muslims believe, as Muhammad taught them, that that black stone actually came from heaven, used to be as white as milk. And when Adam kissed it to receive forgiveness for his sin, it started the color change from white to gray to darker to real black. So Muslims believe when you do the Hajj and you go kiss that black stone one time in your life, if you kiss it one time, you receive forgiveness of all your sin, past, present, and future. What a distortion to the truth. There is no forgiveness by kissing any object or by visiting any place. But here it is. What you said is accurate. And obviously, that is not the true biblical teaching concerning sin or forgiveness of sin. For without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Period.
Gotcha. Sounds more like kissing the Blarney Stone in Ireland. But anyway.
Thank you. Brother.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you for your call. Talking about the distortion of Islam today and taking your questions that you have on Islam. Our phone number, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Justin is next from Middleton. Justin, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call, gentlemen. And I just wonder if there's a concern, and I feel like I heard you do an episode on your program that is aired on BCY, but should we be concerned about some of these Muslim lawmakers that are getting in, like Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib? I know you did a program specifically on Mrs. Omar and her marriage to whoever it was. So just want to hear your feedback on that.
Okay.
Thank you
so,
for taking my call.
So again, the question is, should we be concerned about Islamic lawmakers? Is that correct? That's what he's saying.
Sure. All right. Well, here is the deal. They're not in our two branches as the House of Representatives or the lawyer who makes the laws for America by accident. This was planned. Literally, I got a video 40 years ago or so where they said we need to infiltrate the government of the United States of America so we can change the laws in it to make it fit with our constitution, Sharia, Islamic law. And that's exactly what's happening. And if you realize, just Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib introduced a bill a few months ago where actually all the Democrats, all of them, sign up for with them to say, hey, we don't want anybody like Usama Daqdouk to exist in America.
Against Islamophobia.
Islamophobia. Mm-hmm. And that will open the door. If you shut out anybody who go against whatever you want to do, then you got the whole floor to do whatever you want. And that's exactly why these people running for office, they're here to change the United States of America Constitution to make it fit with Sharia, and that is what is coming, unless American people wake up and do what is right in the next few elections.
Thank you for the call here. We're just seconds away from the next break, so rather than get caught in interrupting the caller, we're going to quick take the break and come back to your calls here. I do have some open lines here, and taking your calls on Islam. Any questions you may have on Islam, our phone number here, 800-733-9829. We're talking about the distortion of Islam. That is, how has Islam distorted even what God has said in his word? Our phone number here, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Usama's website is thestraightway.org. Thestraightway.org is from the Straightway of Grace Ministry. Many resources that are available, both the teaching DVDs, books, materials to be a help to you, even in witnessing to your Islamic neighbors. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There are three steps the communists are using to carry out their ongoing revolution in America. Now, let me make this very clear. There are many plans and many processes, but there are specifically three steps I want to concentrate on today that the communists are using to carry out their revolution in America. Number one, formal communist education. Most of our schools, elementary schools, as well as high schools and colleges, are giving young people, now for decades, a heavy dose of communism under such names as common good or social justice. Number one, formal communist education. Number two, self-criticism and criticism of America. America now has been declared a racist nation, an evil nation. We're called to criticize ourselves as Christians and conservatives. And then number three, the censorship of reality and truth. These are the steps for a communist revolution.
Taking your questions on Islam today, as we're talking about the distortion of Islam, how Islam is distorting the truth. And Usama Daktok is with us today from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. We are going to Winnesburg, Ohio. And Tim, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks. I was wondering if your guest knows anything about a plan to bring Islam and Christianity and maybe even other religions all together. And I think it had something to do with Education Day, which was signed into law by George H.W. Bush, and it was under the Noahide laws.
Well, we will see. We'll have you address this, Usama, but sure. We talked even about this Abrahamic Center that's to open up to bring all religions. We're all, you know, all one. But George W. Bush did a lot even promoting the distortion here, saying Islam is a religion of peace.
Well, I believe when Mr. Bush did this after September 11, he was confused and he was ignorant. But when he continued to lie in the following 7 years, he was deceiving the American people, because we know for sure, I know personally people who communicate with him and in the White House to explain what you're doing is wrong, but they refuse to communicate with us, period. Mm. So, but the interfaith movement has been in America for a long time. As a matter of fact, if you study the history of Europe, you see that's exactly what was in Europe 30 years ago, where Muslims there went and want to hold hand and sing Kumbaya with everybody else who have any belief. And that is exactly what's happening in America. If you go to our website and watch the interfaith video we have there in Orlando, Florida, and how we went and we actually ended that meeting and we took over the meeting simply because we exposed their propaganda. There is no interface. Islam is, it will be in that movement in the early days until when the Muslim has the upper hand. And then no religion will be accepted by Allah except the religion of Islam. So it is one way or another way of deception where Muslims try to pretend to be these nice people, willing to work with everybody, unite with everybody. Let's all get along and get together. But in reality, it is just another deception until the Muslim take over the United States of America.
Thank you, Tim, for the call. We're going to move on because we've got several people lined up here. Chuck in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. And Osama, I very much appreciate your knowledge in this case. I listened to another caller speak about the black stone that these people believe in. Is there any affiliation between Black Rock, the big company that's around, and this black stone, or not? And I'll hang up and take my answer off the air.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I don't think there's any connection. I don't think there's even a connection between Black Lives Matter and the Black Stone. It's just the word black mentioned in both of these two different things. There's no connection whatsoever.
David in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Jim, and hello, Usama. I listen to your program all the time.
Thank you, brother.
I'm just curious. I listened, you know, that I appreciate you sound the alarm, and definitely people are naive and stuff like that, but I just don't see now or anytime in the future, now how many elections they steal, whoever is, you know, masquerading at 1600 Pennsylvania, that they take over America.
Well, I don't understand the question.
So he is not seeing any time down the road that Islam will take over the United States of America.
This is a normal belief among most people in America, but the more you know about what I know, for sure you're going to change your mind. Most people will tell me, Brother Jim, American Muslims will never take over America. And I say, years ago, Muslims were seeking some help from Saudi Arabia and some of the rich oil countries so they can get the fund. Today, they're getting their fund from the American people. Sir, if you open your wallet and check what credit card you have, most likely you're going to have Visa from Bank of America or Wachovia or maybe Citibanks or all of these. And now, American people are using Sharia finance. Muslims are already taking over America, but we can pretend that the Muslims will never take over America. But in reality, they're not only in our Senate and our Congress. And by the way, their number is marvelous, huge.
The last election, they said it was a record number of Muslims running for office.
Yeah.
And as we approach 2022, we're going to see those numbers.
The number will continue to grow, Brother Jim. Mm-hmm. That's how you kill the frog. Put in the water, and he's the water. It's slowly. But Muslims are now are supported by most American people who will tell you Muslims will never take over America, not realizing they are the one who's sponsoring the Muslim to take over America, sadly.
Thank you for the question, David. Bob in Shawano, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Jim, Usama, thank you. I just have a very quick question. Forgive me if it's already been asked and answered. We know that the Bible is the spoken word of God in addition to being the inspired word of God. I was curious as to what the inspiration was for the Quran, for we know that God spoke in the Bible. And if Usama could speak to that, I'd appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Not only, by the way, God spoke in the Bible, but Allah spoke in the Quran to every prophet except Muhammad. So if you open the Quran and start reading, and Allah said to Moses, and Allah said to Noah, and so you see Allah speaking directly to all the prophets as Muhammad was copying the biblical stories, obviously after he distorted it. But when it comes to Muhammad, Allah spoke to him through angel Jibreel. And none of what Allah said to Muhammad is accurate. And most what Muhammad copied from the Bible still was, once again, distorted. There's no truth whatsoever there. And that's the reality. In the Quran, by the way, I love this verse, Quran 4:171, when Allah said, Isa, son of Mary, is the word of Allah and a spirit from him. This is a very powerful verse. And in the same verse, Muhammad contradicts himself and say, for the Christian, desist, stop. Don't say the word Trinity. Muhammad was so total confused in 4:171 by telling us that he's the son of Mary, is the eternal word of Allah, because Muslims do not believe the word of Allah is created. Therefore, and a spirit from Allah, here it is, Trinity 4:171, even though Muhammad once again contradicts himself in the same verse.
One final question, and we have less than a minute.
Less than a minute.
The short answer here, and that is, many times you're told we all worship the same God. Is the God of Islam, Allah, and the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, one and the same?
Absolutely not. The God of the Bible described himself, and he declared himself to us to be a triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Allah in the Quran has no son, and the Holy Spirit does not exist in the Quran as we understand it to be the Holy Spirit of God, but actually there's 19 different interpretations by Muslim scholars to what is the Holy Spirit. In the Quran, if you believe in the God of the Bible, you're an infidel. 572, 573. Infidel indeed are those who say Christ, Son of Mary, is God, or God is a triune. And 47:4 is the top of the top. Allah orders the Muslim believers to behead the Christians who believe in the God of the Bible. That's when he said, when you meet those who became infidels, strike their necks. Until you have made a great slaughter among them. I'm sorry, we don't worship the same God. Allah is Satan, the deceiver, the one who lead people astray, the one who desire to fill hell with people.
Usama, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Brother Jim.
Usama Daktok with us today. Friends, we need to be Bereans, do we not? To search the scriptures, whether those things we hear are so, and we need to hear, certainly, the teachings of Islam. They do not line up with the teachings of the Word of God, the Bible. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.